conflict and unbelievers will be the session topic that we're going to focus on next. You know, one of the greatest joys and privileges that we have as biblical counselors is ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ right to unbelievers. What a privilege, what a joy to be able to share about the hope of Jesus and the possibility of reconciliation with God. I mean, and we have the great joy of doing that with unbelievers. And again, there's various contexts. You know, this is sort of a broad lecture as part of your specialization. So kind of throughout, I'm going to try to give some specific, you know, situations that may involve different types of situations with unbelievers. But to know, again, we are specifically ambassadors of Jesus Christ to proclaim peace, right, even to unbelievers. And some of the unique challenges that we need to keep in mind when counseling in the context of unbelievers is especially just helping everybody, yourself as a counselor, really remembering and taking these truths to heart when you're working with an unbeliever. But also, let's say you're dealing with somebody who's married to an unbeliever in their marriage. There's a reality that they many times don't actually believe these things that the scripture teaches about an unbeliever to be true about their spouse or in the case of their children. But especially the spiritual condition of an unbeliever. Cannot stress this enough that many times, whether you're working, for example, with a spouse who's married to, let's say, somebody who at one point was involved in the church, et cetera, they start to then sort of realize this person's an unbeliever, but then secretly they have expectations and desires for this person basically to be living like a Christian when they're not. And so it's so important for us to just remember how seriously God describes the condition of the unbeliever so that you are not surprised by opposition. You're not surprised by the fruit of the life that they're going to see, that sometimes it may even shock you. And so, for example, they're not yet regenerate. They want to suppress the truth. They do not want to please and glorify Christ. They're motivated by living for themselves, and they live like God isn't there. They regard the gospel as foolish, and they do not have the mind of Christ. They do not even possess the spiritual resources that come in Christ through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And again, there's so many passages that we can go to, but again, just reminding ourselves of how God wants us to understand the spiritual condition and state of unbelievers. For you as a counselor, so that you're not surprised when you're interacting with, let's say, a person who's coming in who's a single and an unbeliever, and to be surprised by how they might respond. Or parents who bring in a teenager who's an unbeliever, so you're not surprised, again, by how they're going to respond. And so we shouldn't be surprised by a lack of thankfulness, for example, sinful speech and actions, the opposition that you might face when you try to provide counsel to them that actually makes them seems like they respond even worse when you try to provide counsel. You know, I'll never forget observing a young counselor trying to provide counsel in a marriage situation. It was his first time dealing with a marriage case with a man who's married to an unbelieving wife. And the first session, he says, "I'm so glad you're here. You know, I can't wait to work with you for biblical counseling." And immediately the wife chimes up and says, "I'm only here because of him. I don't want to be here." Right? And what do you know, I was caught off guard. Like, what do I say now? Because I just said, right? Again, he had certain expectations, right, about how this person was going to respond, even in the counseling situation. And so many times you're going to have certain conversations with unbelievers that are going to be maybe surprising, again, as a counselor from what you might expect. But then there's also expectations, again, think of a spouse who's married with an unbeliever, expectations that they have for their spouse who's an unbeliever as they come into the counseling session, right? So one common expectation might be is, he hasn't listened to me. He hasn't changed despite all the things that I have been doing. But if I can get him to meet with the pastor, he's going to listen. He's going to change. Things will be different if my pastor talks to him. I know it. Right? So just to be reminded, right, we have to remember the gospel is what brings transformation and change. And so that, again, this is one of the challenges even in our counselor's heart, right, is to think like, well, you know, you've tried to teach. There's been other people who have tried to teach this person. But if I counsel this person, things are going to be different. right? And there's deception on our part too about the reality of the person's spiritual condition. And so that part is so important. But then another aspect is to be patient as you counsel the basics. Be patient as you counsel the basics. So many times, again, think of, I'm going to use the example again of a married couple where one is an unbeliever and the other may be a believer. And you start to realize, right, the unbeliever has hardly any knowledge or understanding about God, about his word. And maybe, right, they've been one, the spouse has recently been converted and is growing and becoming a member of your church. Now there's issues being revealed in their marriage and they're wanting to come together as a couple to talk about these things. But again, the spouse may be in a very different position than the other spouse who is an unbeliever. And so you just sort of have to be patient, especially as a counselor, to really define terms, to really explain questions like, what is the Bible? Right? I've had to counsel unbelievers, right? They don't know the Bible at all. They don't know hardly any stories of the Bible. And so being patient in those early sessions, really to gather good data as you're talking with an unbeliever to understand what are some of the huge things that God's word wants to reveal about who he is, his plan for salvation, that they just have no foundations at all for understanding. Things like sin, right? Things like what is the storyline of the Bible? Who is God? What is his nature like? What's our purpose in life? These are some of the most foundational questions that as you work with unbelievers, you're going to have to take time really to slow down and not assume these things as you're working with a non-Christian. But then, of course, who is Jesus and what did he do? Then the other aspect is to clearly establish, again, the goals and the expectations for biblical counseling as you're working with unbelievers. You don't want to allow drift from the purpose of why you're meeting for counseling. And this part is especially when you spend the first session clearly explaining your goals and expectations for biblical counseling, this will help you to control the session according to what the counselees have agreed to for meeting with you for counseling for future conversations. So there are going to be issues that likely will arise, especially with unbelievers, that may want to sort of drift the session and cause you not to focus on things. And so making sure that you have clear expectations and goals when an unbeliever is coming to counseling to understand you're not going to be talking about other things other than the Bible, right? You don't want them to have the expectation like, oh, I can somehow get you off of that hobby horse in the counseling session, right? I want you to basically bring in some other secular things, right? I make it very, very clear with even unbelievers, this is what we're going to be talking about each week, right? So for example, what are some of the expectations even that I have for unbelievers if they're going to meet with me for counseling, right? The counselees are going to agree to work harder than the counselor on the issues. The counselees are going to agree to work harder than the counselor on the issues, meaning even before the Lord for their marriage, right? They're more responsible for their marriage than I am, right? And so they have more of an impact on that. So I want them to understand that. And again, my doctrine of view of God's common grace can even help unbelievers to do moral things, right? And so there are certain moral expectations that I even say that are good for non-believers to do that will be a blessing for their life, even though they're not doing it to please God, even though their motivation is wrong, even though they're unregenerate, right? We still, for example, expect children who are unbelievers still to obey their parents. We still expect unbelievers in our society, right, to obey the laws, right, of the government. And so God had, by his common grace, can even help unbelievers, unregenerate, do things that are still more beneficial for their lives. And so I want them to understand that. So I want them to commit to completing homework that is assigned to them. So unbelievers, right, in school can do homework. Unbelievers in my counseling, I can have reasonable expectations that they would do the reading, do the homework, even though they might not say, I believe this, I accept this yet, I want this yet, but they can still do it. Counselees agree to have a teachable posture, ready to learn and to not quarrel, right? So if a spouse is coming and one of them is an unbeliever and they are just quarreling and everything I'm saying they're fighting against, right? I'm not going to tolerate that in biblical counseling. Right, so I'm not going to let the session get out of hand. So I just go back and I remind them of the principles. You're coming here because you want counseling, right? Because things are not going well. And I'm here to provide you instruction and teaching from God's word that really could drastically change. You could become a new person. Your marriage could be totally different. But come with a heart that's ready to be teachable and a posture that's ready to learn and not quarrel. And so again, we always want to make sure that they agree to receive biblical counseling and to be honest with the counselor. And so again, emphasizing the point that, right, my responsibility, I'm going to listen before I give an answer, but my counsel is only based on what you tell me. So if you're not speaking the truth and you're not honest with me, that's only going to hurt you. right? Because I'm giving my counsel based on what you're telling me. And so try to give hope to those, even those unbelievers. The faster you're willing to be honest, you're going to be open, right? Those are not natural things that we want to do regarding sin and regarding problems in our marriage. And so to help unbelievers say, this is a place where I